Ruchim Abom, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parsha Vayeshev, and as we are familiar, Parsha Vayeshev is a very, very stormy Parsha, very difficult Parsha, a Parsha that has so much contention to have with the Shvatim, with themselves, and it's a very difficult parsha to learn, and we are going to discuss an aspect of the parsha. But before I continue, I just want to mention a few things. Today's the date of this Yud Ches Kislev Toshin Pei Beis, corresponding with November 22nd, 2021, the Zeicher Nishmas of Imoiri, Natatri Ben Ben Tzimoshe, and Ima Meirasi, Shoshana Vita Basi Pshol Halevi, also called Combined Refuah Shlema, for Reina Bas Leia. As I started saying, Parsha Vayeshev is a stormy parsha. It's a parsha that has to do with the brothers in tremendous conflict with Yosef. We're all familiar with Yosef and his two dreams and how he has upset his brothers with his Lashon Hara, and ultimately they ended up selling him to the Arabs, where he ended up being bought by Potiphar. The whole story is very intriguing. Our brothers can do this, and I am not going to be spending time on that aspect of the parsha. I would like to spend time on the first pasuk of the parsha that perhaps does not at all talk about the details of this difficult parsha, but it talks about Yaakov himself. He could perhaps get an insight to how Hashem deals with tzaddikim and ultimately how Hashem deals with us. The parasha begins at the beginning of Perek Lama Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megurei Aviv be'eretz Kanaan. And Yaakov settled in the land of the dwelling of his father in the land of Canaan. Rashi mentions on the word Vayeshev, he settled. He brings down the following Chazal. Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'shalva. Yaakov wanted to settle down in peace. Hafez Olav Rugzei Shel Yosef. The anger of Yosef suddenly overwhelmed him. Say the anger of Yosef means the whole episode that surrounded Yosef and his brothers trying to kill him. And Chazal say on the desire for Yaakov to want to have some freedom. Tzadikim mevakshim leishiv b'shalva. The tzaddikim are trying to sit in this world in peace. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Lo dayim letzaddikim ashem nesukim lehem le'olam haba. Is it not enough for what the tzaddikim will be getting in the world to come? Ela mevakshim leishe b'shalva be'olam hazeh. They want to sit in peace in this world too. I can't allow that. This is what Chazal is saying. It's very intriguing, it's very difficult to understand this Chazal, but it opens up a whole interesting world of how our relationship is to us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how our relationship is to Avodas Hashem, to serving Hashem, and what we are really sent to do in this way, in this world as our mission. First, let's understand, where do we see that Yaakov wanted to be in peace? All he did, he came back to his father's house. Where do we see that he was looking for some peace after his tumultuous past with Esav and Esav's Malach, and with the story with Dinah, and everything that surrounded him and Lavan? Where do we see this? So let me draw your attention to a pasuk in Parshas Vayetze. It says in Parshas Vayetze that after Yaakov finally had worked for Lavan 14 years, then he worked for another 6 years, Hashem appeared to Yaakov. And the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Yaakov, Hashem said to Yaakov, Shuv al eretz avosecha, return to the land of your fathers, ulemoladetcha, and to your birthplace, ve'eya imach, and I will be with you. Now, you would have thought that Yaakov Avinu would have gone straight home, but it doesn't seem to be the case, because Yaakov Avinu, as we are familiar with the story that happened after he left Lavan's house, and he had that encounter with Esav's Malach and Esav himself, and finally he freed himself from Esav and his men. In Parshas Vayishlach, it says that he traveled away from Shechem, and it says, Vayakov Nasa Sukosa Vayivan Lo Boyas. He went and traveled to a place called Sukkos, and he built for himself a house, a mikneu osa Sukkos, and for his cattle he made kinds of tents or temporary dwellings. And Rashi says on that spot, when he says Vayivan Lo Bayis, Rashi says Shah Hashem Yudches Chodesh Kayis V'Chorev V'Kayis. Instead of going home to his father, he took a break. 18 months. It was a summer, and a winter, and a summer. And then the next part of the parasha says, and Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Canaan. He finally came to the city of Shechem, which was in the land of Canaan, Bevo'o Mipadan Aram. He came from Padam Aram, and Vayichenes Penei Ha'ir, and he settled in the face of the city. Vayichenes Cholkas Asada, he bought a piece of property. Again, Ashenot Hashem Olo, and he pitched his tent. He didn't go home, taking a break. Think, this was what Hashem was upset with. Yes, he wanted to take a little bit of a break. Now, one would wonder, what would you think he would be doing in this break? Just to bake in the sun and to drink pineapple juice and rock in a hammock? No. Finally, after all of this, he was planning to sit and in peace, learn Torah. This is what he wanted. He wanted the peace of mind, finally, with all of the tumult. But Chazal tell us, Hashem was not happy with this move on his part. Because on Yaakov's Madrega, and again, we're going to be saying things that are going to be a little bit difficult for us average people to understand. But on Yaakov's of a level on his madrega, he wanted to learn and be at peace during his learning and during his break from Esav and all that. And Hashem took that as a zif, as a criticism to Yaakov Avinu. Of course, we're supposed to realize that in this world is lefum ara agra. That means to say, we earn our reward in Olam Haba, all depending of the pain we go through this world. Now, again, Yaakov Avinu was on a completely different level than we were. There's no comparison, Yaakov Avinu, to us. Torah is trying to show us what are the requirements for a person to reach a pinnacle level. Olam Hazeh is to not be so anxious to live a life of luxury, live a life. Maybe the word today would be called fun. Now, Chas v'Shalom to say that Yaakov Avinu was looking for fun. He was looking to be able to learn Torah with a peace of mind without the tumult. But again, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in looking at him with microscopic eyes, and seeing there was a element of him being to, let's use the word, vacationing. Or Yaakov Avinu wanted a break of all of the work and all of the toil that he had gone through in this world. And Hashem felt for Yaakov Avinu that was considered a problem. Because of that, Torah tells us, suddenly, Hashem had thrown upon him the anger of Yosef, the whole scenario of Yosef. So this is, again, not something that you and I would understand on a simple level. But there is an element over here that does speak to us. This is what I would like to go on. Being that we are put in this world in a form of a mission. We have a mission to accomplish. We have to serve Hashem. We have to learn Torah. We have to learn Torah in a way that we would be able to learn it even if we're not so comfortable. To be able to rise to the highest level of Torah, and that's where the story of Yaakov being criticized, so to say, by that if you're pursuing the highest level of Torah, then you have to recognize that level of serving Hashem cannot be sabotaged by affluence, by pleasures, by other things that distract the person from his learning. Now, again, Yaakov Avinu used and wanted his vacationing, if that would be the word, to learn more Torah, not to learn less Torah. But on the level of a Yaakov Avinu, Hashem has seen an element where Yaakov Avinu had wanted to take a break from the mission of pushing his goal of learning Torah with mission, with the goal of persevering even under difficult times. Hashem wanted him to continue to learn Torah despite that he had a difficult time before. This element of taking a break from all that, Hashem found that to be a criticism. Therefore, the Torah tells us, because he had this feeling of this respite, this break of all of the tzaras that he had until now, going to relax his efforts, is going to learn Torah this time not with tzar, but with pleasure. Hashem felt he being the role model, and I think that's the word that I have to use. These of our fathers are a sign for our children. Hashem, knowing that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of a Ben Torah, is a symbol of what it means to work under difficult times, extenuating circumstances, felt that Yaakov, that being the role model, should not let up. And the role model saying, we are now going to relax for mission. Hashem wanted Yaakov to be the role model throughout his life, learning Torah, pursuing Torah, even in extenuating and difficult times. What Hashem wanted from Yaakov. Therefore, as a result of this, Yaakov had the scenario of Yosef pounce upon him, and therefore gave him the next 22 years of difficulty. We know Chazal also tell us that it's not just that the 22 years that he was away from his father, right? Yosef was away for those 22 years too. There was a Mida Keneged Mida element over here, but I am not developing that Nakuda. I wanted to develop the idea that Yaakov is the role model of learning Torah even when it's difficult. And this is what Hashem, his infinite capacity of understanding human behavior, saw that Yaakov was lax in that aspect. Therefore, this is how this whole incident of Yosef took place. And we are also told that when a person puts himself too much in affluence, the affluence takes away from his Olam Haba too. If a person is blessed with affluence and the affluence doesn't distract his learning and doesn't distract his Avodas Hashem, then the affluence is not a punishment, and he's not going to lose Olam Haba. There's a story that's brought down in the Shmos Rabbah. There's a story with a Talmud, Shimon Bar Yochai, who went chutz la'aretz. He went out to do business. He decided he wanted to do business. And he became a very wealthy person. The Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai saw and jealous. Look at this man. He was a Talmud Chacham, and he probably still is a Talmud Chacham, but he went into the world and became very wealthy, and he said, we would like to be as wealthy as he. And they wanted to go away from Shimon Bar Yochai's yeshiva to Chutz La'aretz. Well, Shimon Bar Yochai got to see what was happening. They were jealous of his Talmud who became wealthy. He went out to the valley near where the Talmidim were at, and he was mispalo. Said, Bika, Bika, Himlei Dinrezov. he asked for a miracle, that the values should suddenly bring forth coins of gold. Suddenly, coins of gold littered the valley. Rabbi Choy said to Samidim, you want the gold? Yeah, you can have it right now. It's in front of you. Take as much as you want. Take it with you. But you have to know one thing. Take all the gold you want here, but you're taking a portion of your Olam Haba with you. Because there are scales and balances that if a person takes more pleasure than he really is entitled to in this world, where he indulges in pleasures of this world when it doesn't come naturally to him, then he's taking with him pieces of his Olam Haba. They heard that, right away retracted, said, if that's the case, don't need it, don't want it. We'll live our own simple, regular life that we're living, and we'll stop being jealous of that wealthy man. Just to give you an example, you have to understand that Yaakov Avinu was the role model of learning Torah under duress, when there was stress, difficult. He was therefore called the Bechir Sheba Avos. He was the chosen from all of the other Tekadoshim. He was the chosen one because he was the role model of living in Gullus under extraordinary circumstances. And we know, going through history, that the Bnei Yisrael in the worst times were Mosa Nefesh to learn Torah and give up their lives for Torah because of the role model Yaakov Avinu presented. We are just about approaching the holiday of Hanukkah. And the holiday of Hanukkah is completely full of these stories of the Chashmonaim, of the Prushim, of the people who are so devoted to learning, and they would not give up their Torah learning, even though it was very often at the cost of life. These were Jewish people who had it in their DNA to learn Torah under duress. And when things were very difficult, they didn't give it up. Where did that come from? It came from Yaakov Avinu. And he, in his lifetime, learned Torah under extraordinary times. Therefore, his children, all his descendants, had followed suit. We know that to be throughout all of the Gullus that we are living, that Jewish people have been learning Torah under the most unusual and sometimes inhumane situations, because they had it in their DNA. Yaakov Avinu lived through difficult times, even when it wasn't comfortable, it wasn't easy. He didn't let the Yetzer Hara take over, and therefore he continued learn Torah even when it was. I think we are having a little bit of an insight to why Hashem was so strict with Yaakov. As a result, we here in Golis are living to testify that we're learning Torah, even though some we know from history that Torah has been learned under extreme difficult times, but in the time of the Inquisition, in the time of the Cossacks, in the time when the Jewish people were living in the Iron Curtain in Russia, where there were groups who were hiding from the Russians, My own Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller Zitzal, talked about that he went as a teacher to teach Torah underground to Jewish people in Russia, and they suspected that he was going to teach. So the Russians caught my Rebbe, and they harassed him and interrogated him for 6 hours. And the Rebbe describes it was grueling, a terrible experience. They didn't catch him teaching, but they suspected that he was going to do that. Jewish people were learning Torah even in the Holocaust, even in the most inhumane and most unexpected places. This is all the credit. Yaakov Avinu was the role model of learning Torah in those times. We are familiar with the story of Rabbi Akiva getting married to his wife Rachel. The famous story is that his father-in-law, Kalba Savua, was the richest Jew in Yerushalayim. Kalba Savua said if his daughter Rachel marries Akiva the shepherd, who didn't even know Aleph Beis, he would disown them and would not support them. And as we know the story, Akiva was not called Rebbe Akiva then. Akiva married Rachel, and it was in the winter time, and they had to live in a cold barn on straw. That was their bed. That's where they lived. And despite the difficulty, Akiva later became Rebbe Akiva, great, great Tana Rebbe Akiva, who we all know. And again, it is because Akiva then married Rachel, where the two of them knew that this was the thing to do. It was in their DNA to grow and to expand and to become great in Torah. And they didn't give it up, even this event that Rachel, daughter of the richest man, Shalayim, is going to become a pauper. Because the emes, the truth, had to stand up and speak for itself. Torah had to continue. They were clearly aware that this was their mission. So we're very, very familiar with that story. And we are familiar with the Torah tells us how important Amelus of Torah is. Now, again, what I am saying has to be distilled and explained and brought down to the level that you and I are. We have to understand, can we go through the same kind of life and pressure and challenges that Yaakov went through, that Hashem expected him to overcome and to succeed? I don't think Hashem wants us to. Or Hashem wants us to walk away with the lesson that Yaakov Avinu had set for his children, for all of his descendants. He wanted them to know the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Shishi, Mishnah Dalit. I'll say it's not really a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. It says, Kach hi darkish of Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pas b'melach teichel, to eat bread with salt, or mayim b'mesurah tishta, to drink water with a measure. Va'al ha'oretz tishan, and on the ground you shall sleep. V'chayei tzar tichya, and a life of pain you shall live. U'batora ata omel, and with Torah you shall toil. Emata oiser kain, if you do this, ashrech v'teivach. Happy are you, Ashrech ba'olam hazeh, Tov lach la'olam haba, and good for you will it be in the world to come. So how do we explain this Mishnah to us today? What we have to explain this Mishnah, perhaps for a Yaakov Avinu, this would be literal. But for us, this is not literal. It would mean, Has b'melech teichel, that if we had money and affluence, but if it meant that all we would be left with is just bread, we would still learn Torah, despite the fact that we may have lost money. We would still learn Torah if all we would have is water to drink. We would still learn Torah if we would have to sleep on the floor. Yes, we could be living in our mansions, but our attitude towards learning, our attitude towards the mission of a Ben Torah, Ben Yisrael, should be, if it meant that all that we would have is just these things, then we would learn despite having the lack of our affluence. And if we are accepting our role, and we have to live in Tzar, and we still learn Torah, we're told, Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, v'tov lach la'olam haba. Then happy are you in this world, and happy are you, will you be in the world to come. The attitude to know that our goal in this world is not to have fun. We're not put in this world to have fun. Yaakov Avinu was that role model. And that's why Hashem was very critically difficult and critically strict with him. Because there was that microscopic element of relaxation that did not fit him and we're well with Yaakov Avinu. With us, it would have been great. Would have been great if people would be able to go ahead and spend a lot of time learning in their vacation homes in the summertime or in their vacation homes in the wintertime. It would be great. But to know that the attitude should be that if we wouldn't have all that, we would still learn Torah. We would thank Hashem for the affluence, but we would still learn Torah, despite the fact that we wouldn't have it at the time. It's the attitude that Hashem wants us to have. We have to understand that this is a mission that every Jew has. We're very familiar with the Pasuk in Bechukosai. The Torah says in Bechukosai Teilechu, if you will walk in the chukim, the statutes of my Torah, and what does Rashi explain? Shetiyu amelim b'Torah, that you will be toiling in the work of Torah, the words of Torah. Then, if you will work in Torah, you will be blessed, because our goal in this world is to be amel b'Torah, and if you're amel b'Torah with all your affluence, then you will be blessed. But Hashem wants us to have the right attitude when we go through life. Very, very important. I remember hearing from Rabbi Yisachar Friend. One time he spoke, it was a recording at some convention, and he was making a point about, was talking about at the extravagance, let's say, of a wedding, all out, thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in presenting themselves at a wedding. So he says, well, if a person gives that kind of tzedakah, what's wrong with him making such a wedding? That's all, if that's what he does, if he gives that kind of money. So he said a very important point, which I think we can learn from. That is, if the person, we'll call him the Baal Simcha, made too big of a deal over the kind of wedding he's presenting, too big of a deal of the size of the orchestra, too big of a deal of the kind of flowers that he had to fly in from Holland, too big of a deal of the type of elaborate smorgasbord that he had, and he talks about it, and he makes a big deal over that. I said, that's what Hashem doesn't like. If the rich man who gives millions of dollars says, here, I'm going to write a check, here, I want a $100,000 wedding, I want to honor my daughter and the guests and finish it, doesn't make a big deal over every little thing. So, gesunte heit, if that's what he wants to do, he has the right to go ahead and spend that kind of money, if that's the kind of tzedakah he gives to, fine, but he doesn't make a big deal over everything. A person has to know how to control himself. There's a story about the Manchester Rav, Rav Yehuda Segel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, where he would have pleasure in his lifetime. Every time he would say, I have a desire to do something, and I hold myself back from doing it. I want to do certain things, and I hold myself back. Let's say he wants to stop learning at this moment, right? He wants to stop. He says, 1 minute. Let me just stop for, and let me hold myself back, and I'll learn for 5 more minutes. Controls himself. Let's say a person would like to enjoy a cake, right? And he holds himself back from eating the whole thing. He leaves a piece over. He puts himself in the driver's seat, where he's controlling his habits. He's controlling his behavior. A person like that, who is displaying control over his behavior, is exactly what Hashem is looking for us to imitate Yaakov Avinu, where he wants us to be in full control over our habits, over our actions. It's a work, it's a lifetime of work. But he wants us to be in control. Therefore, this is what the Torah wants us to walk away with. When the story of Yaakov, and the story of Yaakov with him, and the story of Yosef, is a very, very difficult story to understand. But as Chazal tell us, Hashem was going to give Yaakov Olam Haba. Hashem was saying he wants all for Olam Hazeh. He has to learn to persevere learning Torah in Olam Hazeh without conveniences, without having so much pleasure. Again, for us to imitate that is way, way, way beyond us. But that Yaakov has been the role model in being able to learn Torah even when things are not so easy, when things are difficult, like he did do in the house of Lavan and in the difficult times when he had to stay away from Esav. All this, something that the Parsha wants us to walk away with. Therefore, what we walk away with at the beginning of the Parsha, where the Torah tells us, Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Meguri Ovid be'eretz Kanaan. Yes, Yaakov wanted to settle down. But Hashem wants every Jew to settle down in his place, where he will be able to learn Torah even under difficult circumstances, and not necessary when it's so convenient, and not necessary when it's so comfortable, and not when it's so easy. And this is where Yaakov has become the role model of being the trailblazer of Talmud Chacham who learns under duress. And this will be a zchus for all of us to follow in his lead, and will be'ezah Hashem be blessed with all the brachas that are forthcoming, bein ba'olam hazeh, bein ba'olam haba. Wonderful week, and zayim atzeich.
I'd wanted to add another minute or two to explain this point of Yaakov Avinu's motives towards relaxing and vacationing. We have to recognize that our Avos HaKadoshim were human beings. And as a human being, there are tendencies, habits, feelings, emotions that go with a human being. When the Torah talks about midos of our Avos HaKadoshim, it talks as if the Torah was using a CAT scan, an emotional CAT scan, and would go into the very, very fiber of the Avos HaKadoshim and would draw out an element that to you and I, it would seem to be negative. For example, we have in Parshas Vayetze, when the Torah says, Yaakov got married to Rachel. The Torah says, in Posik Lamed, Perik Choftes, Vayova Gam El Rachel, Vayahav Gam Es Rachel Meleya. He loved her more than Leah. Vayahavod Imoy Oshev Eshonim Acheiros. And he served him, Milovin, for 7 more years. And the next Posik says, Vayah Hashem Kisnua Leah. Hashem saw that Leah was hated by Yaakov. And Vayiftach is Rachman v'Rachel Akara. Hashem opened up her womb, and Rachel became an Akara, a barren woman. How could the Torah say Snua on our forefather Yaakov? Yet the Torah is talking about a human being that has an element that you and I would never perceive. Another pasuk a little further ahead in Perek Lamed pasuk Aleph. Vatera Rachel ki lo yolda le Yaakov. Rachel saw that she did not give birth to Yaakov. Atakane Rachel ba'achosa. And she was jealous of her sister. Again, Vatakane. These are jealousy. The midah of jealousy is not a midah that we promote. But the Torah said she was jealous. Again, on the outwardly picture, on the surface, you would never be able to see it. But the Torah is going into the emotional DNA of the person, and there was an element of kinah. In Parshas Vayeshev, when our parsha of conflict with the brothers were in conflict with Yosef, after Yosef said the dreams to his brothers, what did the Torah say in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Lamed Zayin? Vayekanu vo echov. And his brothers were jealous of him. And the father awaited the event. He knew that this was going to take place. Again, Vayikanu. And they were jealous? Are we talking about petty things of school children? A little brother and sister fighting over a lollipop? Chas v'shalom. We're talking about how the Torah is going deep into the emotional fabric, and every tiny fiber that would be negative, the Torah reveals to tell us that they were human beings. Yet we have to learn to be in control over ourselves, and that this is our purpose in this world is to fight our yetzer hara, to shape our personalities, and to become true bali midos and bnei Torah.
Wonderful week and Zayim Atzeich.